Yeah. my love is here to stay. Not for all year, but ever and a day. Oh, the radio and the telephone movies that we know may just be passing fancies, and then time may go. But oh my dear, our love is here to stay. Together we going on a long, long way. In time the rockets may crumble, Gibraltar may tumble, they only made of clay. But our love is here to stay.
It's very clear our love is here to stay. Not for a year, but ever and a day. Just be passing fancies, and in time may go. But oh, oh, oh my dear, our love is here to stay. Together we're going a long, long way. In time the Rockies may Gibraltar may tumble, they're only made of clay, but our love is here to stay.
We have Deb and Michelle and Rosemary and Carol in chat. Hi to everybody in chat. And we have Judy and Tana on the line. I think I really, I'm not sure how this is going to go. But, you know, our walk, our condition it matters. And in what we're doing here in our church and our family. And, I don't know how well I can say it, but I just feel like I should probably share a little bit about where I'm at. What I know I have to talk about, whether I have some things that are a reflection of the email Carol sent out, and I don't know if I have any more conclusions. I have a few details. I don't know if it's a conclusion beyond what we already know. And the same thing is true with what I had to say about where I'm at. I don't know if there's there's any conclusion that's a part of it. It just seems like where we're at and what we experience, God is always in it. We've experienced that God is in it, and so it seems to matter. So on this occasion, I think I'll just talk a little bit about where I'm at as best I can explain it. We all have had our share of fatigue as time has gone on, and we have, at least those of us who are hanging in there, and we've trusted God for it, we've pursued it, we've walked it out, we have managed the disappointment, and in fact, he's lifted us out of that, given us other things. He's given us dates set powerfully in our lives and those we prayed for, and I know I will always be thankful for that. I am thankful for it. Lately, in addition to that, general fatigue, which is very real, and we have all got our own kind of brand and flavor of it. It's hard for me to describe this, but it's as if I have several different directions that I've sort of been challenged. And some of them are good directions. I mean, he, in the last several days, even a couple of weeks, he has given me moments where not very long moments, but he has absolutely given me moments and, I don't know, shadings, tastes of the fulfillment of his promises, the expectations that he has directly given to me. And it's just felt wonderful. Because he's been doing that recently, it has made things seem that much closer to fulfillment. And so it has really felt like he has upped the, in a certain way, a certain expectation, a sense of urgency. And to tell you the truth, I think he did that partly to increase my sense of expectation, because while I have date sets and I saw an awful lot that pointed me to the third, and now the date set that I really didn't want to offer more than a month ago is upon us, the 8th and the 9th, which I believe must be the application of my Cleaver dream coming down at the end of the 8th. Am I excited about that? Yeah. Do I believe? Yeah, I do. Whatever thing you want to place, whatever word you want to place after the word believe. Basically, yeah, I do. But at the same time, in addition to that, there have been other challenges, and I'm not even sure they matter, because they matter to me, but I mean, going into the details, I'm not even sure it's significant, because you know, I see such a wonderful, common family spirit in our church amongst our friends here. That by a bit of common spirit, our circumstances from one to the other are all very, very different. It's quite remarkable. And yet, of course, we have very significant similarities, too. But I know some of the challenges, the things, the, let's say, the repetition, the cyclic nature of some of the things that I've been facing around me and my family, which the Lord has absolutely called us to. He's absolutely been with us in it. It has been amazing to see him work and to prepare us for. But it has worn and been an additional sort of wearing recently to the basic rapture-centric condition. Then there's the expectation. And then in the last few days, especially yesterday, maybe the day before, and today, he's brought me to a realization that, I'm really living in this condition where there just doesn't seem to be any point with our spiritual leading and understanding of why we would still be here. And pursuing the things of the world seems completely pointless, and there's no real desire to do it. But the sum total of all those things have gotten me at a point where I still believe, I still have faith, and I trust him for his promises. Am I excited about this week? I am. I really am. But I am so worn down that it's all I can do to keep it together right now. And that's just how it is. All of these different feelings, emotions, realities, it's just a lot. And I don't have, I mean, there's really no answer to it. I'm not going to change my outlook. I'm not going to retreat. I just hope there's meaning in it. I hope it's part of an endpoint for us. But I can tell you, he's got me in a place that I felt myself going there a couple of days ago, and it's a little bit weird. And in spite of all the different challenges and things we've been through, it's still different, kind of new. And on top of all the other fatigue and challenge I have around me, which really isn't even, it's an irritation, but it's just, the sum total of it is really a lot. And so all I can tell you is he's got me in a place where I'm just worn out. I don't know what's next. I'm hoping worn out means end point for all of us, that he's going to get us out of here immediately. I certainly have that expectation. I'm so worn out that it's an effort to actually even ask him about things right now. And I'm not even, part of it is I'm not even trusting myself very much right now. Not that there's anything happened or I have any reason not to. It's just that's how much fatigue there is. Instead of just ramble on about it, I'll probably pretty much stop there. But that's where I'm at. And I hope it has meaning. And it is all I can do to keep it together to do this right now. But I believe and I have hope, and all those things are still real. It's just a matter of fatigue. And so we will see what the Word does. Partly because of what I just said, I would like to get into the few things that I did have to share that I'm aware of today. And I get everybody on as quickly as I can. I really kind of look at this as a community thing, and I try to get everybody on sooner rather than later, unless I have an intense download. But today, quite frankly, just to make it easier for me, I'm just going to get into the things that I have here. Carol sent out an interesting thing in email, and it's basically, I think the title of it was July 2015 Rapture, and it had some quotes from Five Doves. Carol sent out portions of it in another email, and it goes over the tetrads and these other things. I actually noticed something that I had either forgotten or hadn't noticed. There's a partial solar eclipse on the 13th, which is Rosh Hashanah, the beginning of it, and that caught my attention a little bit. But other than that, it's mostly the things that we know of that we have discussed. There's several references to Micah, and I have gone back through Micah, and the truth is, the sum total of what Carol said about it is pretty accurate. Late July and through most of August is considered the grape harvest season. What I'm going to offer about this is just food for thought, because I really don't have any hard conclusions about it. We have discussed the Song of Solomon, which is included in some of this information. And so I have a couple things to go into. Where Song of Solomon is concerned, we discussed the timing there, that the buds, which are on the vine, and the word used does indicate in 6, I think it's chapter 6, verse 11 of Songs, and also chapter 7, a later verse. It actually means flowers, buds, a springing forth, and actually the root word for that word of a bud is fly. So it's as if the flower is sprouting out or flying forth. So that's a really interesting metaphor where we're concerned with our expectations. But there's another verse earlier in Song of Solomon, and depending on what translation you read, and as I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, for a relatively short scripture, I'm not sure I've ever seen so much variation in translations from one translation to another for a short book. I am going to read, let me do this. I'm going to read, just because a lot of people reference it, the King James. You know I have a pet peeve about the King James. But this is what it says. Take the foxes. This is Songs chapter 2, verse 15. So remember, this is chapter 2, much earlier in this love letter, if you will. Take us the foxes, the little foxes, that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. Okay? This would, in the English, this would seem to indicate that there's small grapes on the vine in chapter 2. However, if you go back and look at another translation or look at the concordance, I'm going to read the HCSB, the Holman translation. This says, catch the foxes for us. Little foxes that ruin the vineyards, for our vineyards are in bloom. And that's more a more faithful translation to the word. There are two different words that are used in Songs about the grapevine. But both of them, here we have Simadar, I think that's Simadar, Simadar. It means grape blossom or bud. Now, remember, a bud is what happens before the blossom. It is not the fruit. And so the indications we have in Song of Solomon are actually of the bud or the blossom on the vine, not the fruit. And so the timing we have out of Psalms, there's several different verses all the way through. For example, in chapter 2, chapter 2, verse 10, "My love calls to me, arise, my darling, come away, my beautiful one." And so these kinds of statements, apparent rapture, calling out, appear all the way through Song of Solomon. And but in every case, the status is a bud rather than fruit on the grapevine. So to me, that says we should be out before the grapes form, and certainly before the grape harvest, which starts in the last week of July. Now, Micah. What I found in Micah was a little less about timing. I found some interesting potential rapture verses in there. And I find them at the ends of the chapters. I'm going to try to go back to the beginning here. Micah chapter 1. There's some other details in here, and I just haven't collected all of the little things that I might have mentioned. But here, basically, Micah is giving a word which is not unlike Jeremiah, a condemnation of Israel and a condemnation of those in power in Israel and their lack of integrity, their dishonesty, and so on. Then it says... for example, here randomly, Micah 1:9, "For her wound is incurable, and it has come to Judah. It has reached the gate of my people, to Jerusalem." In the end, it is telling, it says, it says, "I will bring a conqueror to you, the inhabitants of Marishah. The glory of Israel shall come to Adullam." And here, this is an indication of the Messiah, the true Messiah is coming. I found a verse here, the next verse, the last verse of chapter 1, Micah 1:16, "Make yourselves bald and cut off your hair. For the children of your delight, make yourselves as bald as the eagle, for they shall go from you into exile." Well, this definitely appears to be a reference to the bald eagle. And eagles are used widely around the world, especially in certain particular cultures. There's certainly a Roman-esque reference. But the bald eagle in particular is not often referenced. And here it says, if you look up in the concordance the particular meanings of these words, "Make yourselves bald and cut off your hair." Well, that's straightforward. "For the children of your delight." Well, that's a very gracious translation. What it's really saying is, essentially, you're spoiled or dainty or sensitive children. It is the children of your delight, but it's also sort of your spoiled children. But anyway, it says, "Make yourselves bald and cut off your hair. For the children of your delight, make yourselves as bald as the eagle, for they shall go from you into exile." And the word exile is galah, probably galah, anyway, that's galah, to uncover, to remove, and all sorts of different things, lay bare, to be uncovered of your own. So anyway, this could actually be a rapture verse of the kids. This could be a definite indication of the Lord taking the children away before condemnation falls on the nation of Israel. Also, similarly, towards the end, then the beginning of chapter 2 is woe to those who do this and that and so on, and how this is the misbehavior. This is definitely directed, by the way, to, for example, the house of Jacob, basically Israel. And then it says here at the end of chapter 2, Micah chapter 2, "I will surely assemble all of you, O Jacob. I will gather the remnant of Israel." It says the remnant, okay, the remnant, what's left. I will set them together like sheep in a fold. And this is a remnant to God. I will set them together like sheep in a fold, like a flock in its pasture, a noisy multitude of men. This happens to be the English Standard Version, by the way. And then the last verse of Micah chapter 2 is chapter 2, verse 13. He who opens up the breach goes up before them. They break through and pass the gate, going out by it. Their king passes on before them, the Lord Jehovah, at their head. So this is, once again, like a rapture sort of reference, because the breach goes up before them. It's an opening up. But here's the really curious thing. I've mentioned this a few times, one of the really curious passages about the end times and how they come. We all know about Noah and the times of Noah and Lot, all that. But there's a passage, I think it's in Daniel, says the end shall come with a flood. And the flood, the term used, can be an inflowing or an outflowing. And we know a birth comes with a flood of sorts. Listen to the definition. There's the same word is used twice in this passage. Just for the sake of highlighting this word in the passage, here's the NASB translation. The breaker goes up before them. They break out. Both cases, the word break is paratz, which is H6555. They break out, pass through the gate, and go out by it. So their king goes on before them and the Lord at their head. The Lord is leading them out after they break through the gate. Paratz, which is the word translated break, means to break through, down, cover, burst, breach. The next specific definition is to break or burst out in brackets from womb or enclosure. In other words, breaking out from the womb, just like a flood. So this, once again, is another rapture, prophetically similar rapture verse. And this is in Micah chapter 2. So I'm pointing these things out because I had a similar experience going through Micah as a result of that email that Carol sent out, as I did through Psalms. And I was finding sort of rapture references early on, as well as later on, and I agree that the timing certainly is should be before late August. And I really only have one other thing to say about all this, and that is, I was really pondering last night, and the fact that somehow we could be. That we could be referenced as the grape harvest, because I've mentioned before that, you know, the process of getting the value out of the grape harvest was the pressing, the wine. And I've always felt like the wine press was a metaphor for part of the tribulation, just like the olive press. Now, I'm not saying I don't feel like I have been pressed. In fact, I started, you know, what I was saying, making it very clear, I certainly do feel pressed. But at the same time, as a harvest, well, so then I'm wondering, well, if the bride is in the grape harvest, okay, prophetically, what about all the grain harvests? How do they fit in? And the only thing I can come up with is that if, in fact, the bride is taken in the summer or the fall, and for that matter, by the way, any other rapture condition person, whether it's the bride or, you know, those brought in from the streets into the party, if you will, anybody that is taken out of all of this, if the great harvest is in any way a metaphor for any of us. By the way, I asked the Lord directly. He told me grapes are not a metaphor for the bride. That's just what he told me. That doesn't mean we wait after the grapes, of course, but I still believe that means we can go any minute or any day and probably this week. But the understanding I got in the harvest was the thing about grapes and olives is that they come off trees that are living. And the grain harvest, while the grain is productive, it's got all these fruit, all of the seed, literally, of life in it. It's harvested off of a dead plant. It's harvested when the growing season is over and the stalks no longer are sending nutrients to the meat of the seed. And so what came to my mind today when I was considering this was that it's possible that the grain harvest represents those who have died and who are already have died in their physical life and have their seed, their riches stored up spiritually already in heaven, whereas the grape and the olive can represent those who are alive on the earth at the time of the end, in which case the distinction between the grapes and the olives becomes quite significant. Because the grapes being here in late summer, mid to late summer, being harvested and pressed. And remember, they can store the juice that longer than they can store the grape. So they do need to press the grapes that they do harvest. So it may be the grape is a beginning or just prior to the tribulation, what we call a great tribulation, what I would call a great tribulation harvest, basically the judgment. The grapes would come just before God's judgment falls down on the earth in a physical fashion, and that the olives might be the olive harvest at the end just prior to the great white throne judgment. Those are my thoughts. I still believe, very much like Carol said, that no later than August at some point. I don't believe we are like late grape harvest. I believe the Song of Solomon is indicative of the condition of the bride, and that the bride is called out many times during the Song of Solomon, but in every time, the timing we have referenced is buds and flowers on the grapevine, not fruit. We are into the fruit-growing season of the vine in Israel. And it will be harvested beginning at the end of July and through probably about the middle of August. So that is the timing that I see. It does not disagree. But I found a few interesting things I thought I would point out. And quite frankly, I don't see any other more precise indication of timing there, even though I'd like to find it. But if you read through Micah, I found some very interesting clues about rapture, and even that one verse talking about those in Judah whose children will have been taken away from them, and people going through the gate, which is the bursting out, breaking forth. And don't forget, when the church is taken, the Holy Spirit, which is indwelling in the church, is taken too. The Holy Spirit is a reference of water. So the taking of the Holy Spirit in the form of a raptured bride or a birthed bride and a raptured church is very close to an outpouring of water, which can represent both a flood, a breaking forth, a bursting out, like the word used in Micah. So that's what I have. Let me get everybody going here. I don't see anything. So let me bring on Judy. I will open up Judy. I'll say hi to Judy, and she may or may not be muted. I think she is. And I will say hi to Pat.
Hi, how is everybody? Love you.
Hi, Pat.
Hi.
And how are you?
Okay, just tired, very tired. I'm hanging on here. Just extremely tired. For no reason. I can't figure it out. I find myself apologizing to God. I'm so tired. Sorry,
Jesus. That's not too different from how I've been. So I mean, Michelle put a note on the Pre-Julian calendar. It's April 14th, near your anniversary of being allowed to log into chat on the 15th and getting into chat on the 29th. Yep. Definitely, I have to say, I don't think I can sound very enthusiastic about anything right now, but I really do. I mean, really, I don't know where to go after the 8th and the 9th. If we're still here on the 10th, I am...
The 10th!
I have nothing. I have nothing to talk about, okay? It's just how it is. At the moment, I have nothing to talk about after the 9th. So we will see how that goes. So, Pat, I don't know how much you heard of what I said earlier.
No, I heard everything.
Okay.
I sent you something interesting on the Song of Solomon, a different kind of interpretation called the Passion Interpretation. That threw me.
Yeah.
Whoa.
was that today?
No, yesterday, last night.
Yeah, okay. Oh, yeah, here it is.
Yeah,
I know,
it's different.
There's certainly plenty of opportunities. I mean, honestly, if you look at different translations of Song of Solomon, you're going to find quite a variety.
Really?
Very much so. Yeah. It's remarkable. It's because, its the translations are highly interpreted. And quite frankly, just based on the concordance, straight out incorrect. Like, there's one that talks about Fox is taking this. Fox is, like I mentioned, Song 215. Fox is taking the small grapes, and the word used clearly is a reference for buds and blooms. And I don't know, the fox is a whole other thing, but it says Songs 215. Let's see, which one is this? This is the Holman.
This is 8.
Which I like in certain circumstances. They do a pretty good job. Catch the foxes for us, the little foxes that ruin the vineyards, for our vineyards are in bloom. And that's a correct translation of that word, bloom. My love is mine, I am his, he feeds among the lilies. That last verse of chapter 2, before the day breaks and shadows flee, turn to me, my love, and be like a gazelle or young stag on the divided mountains. Well, that's what we'd like, but strictly speaking, that's an encouragement. That doesn't necessarily mean it happens. So, but anyway, yeah, if you go through Songs and look at different translations, I'm using Blue Letter Bible because I find referencing the concordance is easier in Blue Letter Bible. However, way, way more translations available in Bible Gateway, and that's a definite advantage because I'm not a big fan of most of the translations on Blue Letter Bible. So, I have found them lacking. On certain things that I've been looking into, but it's a good starting place, and it's a good it's an easy reference for the concordance. You can go into you can float over tools and hit interlinear, and it'll give you usually an alternate translation plus the meaning, the words of each word in Hebrew or Greek, depending on which test. Fine there.
Whatever.
So that's pretty much what I have. I thought that thing Carol found was interesting. Mm-hmm. I had Jason call me just before the show, and we exchanged several emails yesterday. And he's had a lot of things going on. The circumstances around him have improved.
Good.
Although he's also fatigued. Physically, he's challenged, but Corrine has had more dreams, and she is really feeling now, unlike in the past, the Lord can come and take us any minute. She's having some confidence and she's really starting to embrace the leading of the Lord in a way she had not before. And the things that he and she have been getting speak also of this week and like right away. And she had one dream where she was pregnant, and there were two numbers in the dream, 260 and 40, and she really believed that, I mean, she could give birth at any minute, and she was really concerned in this dream because she didn't have any health insurance. She didn't know where she was going to be able to have the baby.
Oh, wow.
But she was going to give birth immediately. We took those numbers and a couple others back, and they became very significant dates in our history. The 260 takes us back to, if you go 260 days back from the 8th of July, you end up at the 21st of October. That is the day Jason got his first date set. But it also is the day that Judy and I announced together the November 5th date set, which was extremely spectacular in both of our experiences. And it led to a lot of discussions. It led Jason into lots of garage work in the next month and a half. And also that garage work led to the discovery, among other things, of the Elijah pattern, which is still kind of in play here right now, and it's a foundational thing. A minute and a half to call in, if you'd like to call in. I don't know where we're going to go from here, but for as long as we go, that's call in if you like. So he's had a lot of experiences. Anyway, so let me see if I can remember this off the top of my head. 260 went back to the 21st of October, which was a really big day for him, but it was also a big day on the show because Judy and I announced all the stuff that went on about the November 5th date set, which led to a bunch of other things. In the same download, different experience, but same download. And almost every number in Kareem's dreams, by the way, have, including, they fit into the Elijah pattern. They've all been day counts. And one of the things that happened was he did something for her, and I don't think it was a dream. I think this is real. And it was just an incidental thing, running a little errand, I think, to the grocery. And she left him $4, but she did it in like two rolls of nickels, whatever it was. But anyway, it was 400 cents. So I just cranked the 400 cents. And from the 8th or the 9th, depending on whether it's inclusive or exclusive, that took us back to Pentecost last year, which was the Pentecost which followed my login experience. So it'd be Pentecost 2014. So that is absolutely within the Elijah pattern on the 50-day count and all those things. So lots of encouragements. I was pretty much telling him where I'm at, which is what I expressed earlier on in the show. I'm just kind of worn out and in a really profound way. And fortunately, his experiences have been turning up, and fewer challenges around the house. However, we shared some interpretations about some dreams months and months ago that are all coming to pass right now with respect to Kareem's children, where they're living, what the circumstances are. A lot of things that we discussed partly between us privately, because they didn't really seem to be we weren't really keeping them secret. It just didn't seem material to talk about at the time. But at this point, one of Kareem's daughter is with her dad, and Kareem's son is with her. And there's several other things that are set up logistically exactly like the two of us anticipated based on dreams and leadings that we were getting. And not all leadings. Some of it was just asking God about what do these dreams mean and other things. And everything is shaping up around him exactly as we were anticipating months ago and have just been sitting here waiting. to see whether it would happen this way, but it is. It is right now.
Hmm.
So he's extremely encouraged, and quite frankly, he's more enthusiastic than I am.
Wow.
Because I'm just spent.
Sure.
I've got so many conflicting emotions in me right now that it's really hard to contain it all.
Don't feel bad. Don't feel bad at all. You're not alone.
I'm not trying to make it, but it's good to be honest.
It's good to be honest.
Because it encourages everybody else. I'm sharing it out there, and this is another level of experience.
Well, we can identify with it.
But
you're not alone.
So we will see. It's taken me two or three days both to get to this point and to also kind of wrap my mind around it just a little, because it grew and I had to kind of see where it took me. But anyway, Jason's very excited. He went and saw his dad who lives out of town. He strongly felt before he got there and after he left, still feels this way, that it was the last time he's going to see him before we poof. So as he was leaving his dad's, he was asking God about it. He said, you know, is this going to be, is this going to be the last time I see him? Or are you going to take us in? And the Lord said to him, he said, keep your eyes open. And I'm going to show you something. And he said, I'm just driving along. And he says, he's actually not looking at like every sign he goes by or anything like that. And he said that, however, he went by this sign that he noticed right away. And it said, exit ramp closed July 9th.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. So that fits exactly on the meat cleaver dream. Meat cleaver
was
part of the 8th and 9th, which, so at the end, what I saw in the 2 months to fit this pattern on the calendar page that he showed me was the day 8 and 9th on the calendar page, and the meat cleaver came down at the end of the 8th, and everything after that, beginning with the 9th, faded to black. It turned black, but also faded away. I mean, became nothing.
Yeah.
And my initial impression was that was an endpoint of how far we could go later on, because I wasn't sure, because that was back in January that he showed me this, or at least it seemed to apply to January. And then I realized the days weren't quite in the right place in the month of January, and the 2 months that fit are April and July this year. And so I believe that it's a cutoff point based on everything else I'm seeing. There's still an off chance that maybe it's the beginning of a window that we would disappear in, but a cutoff point is a cutoff point. And that was one of the answers I got when I was really pressing into him in late December about, you know, what is the end point here? Because by then we were nowhere near the end point of the Elijah pattern, as it turned out. Mm-hmm. And this was one of the most clear messages that I personally received about an endpoint. So I do believe we should be, you know, approaching our endpoint any moment. I don't know if Judy has anything she wants to say about it, but, you know, I think she's having some similar perceptions. I talked to her a little bit about it last night, but quite frankly, I was pretty confused. And
Marianne called, and God gave her the time that's coming for her.
Hey.
She had a dream. So,
wow.
Jason, he kept telling Marianne, just ask God. He'll just tell you what time he's coming for you. That's what he did to me. She goes, well, if he wants to tell me, he'll just tell me. And so he did. He gave her a dream. And so we talked. And I'll let her share the dream. She's out walking her dog and stuff, but she's She's really excited. She's coming for her at 2:14, her time. It's a really cool dream, but I don't want to botch it up, so I just want to give you that. It's exciting.
Wow.
That is exciting.
Yep.
That is exciting. Well,
I guess she didn't really feel like asking him the time. So she's like, nah, she told Jason if he can tell me, he'll just tell me. You know, and then he did.
Yeah.
He told her.
Yeah.
And he went.
Wow. Cool.
Wow.
Yeah, very cool.
Well, that's good. That's really good.
And it's been a really good day, and God's coming, and be excited, and all the plans of the evil one are going really smoothly. So, as you can tell, if you've been watching the thing, so if the evil one's plans are going smoothly, that's a good sign for us. That's the only reason why I look at the evil one's plans, because him and God work side by side. So, I'm always encouraged when I see what my little flu foot devil's up to. My little shoe foot. Old shoe foot.
Well, I thought about doing a mocking. The Son of Perdition made a statement from the Pentagon today about ISIS, and which he called ISIL. And I saw just a couple of minutes. I don't really give him air in this house, but it auto-played when I clicked on the article. And I was thought about doing sort of a my interpretation of the truthful content of his statements, but I'm not in that mode right now, and I'd really like just focus on kind of God's spirit in us and where He's leading us. But I just perceived that there was a very large gap between what he was saying and what he was thinking. And let's leave it at that for the moment.
Hi, Mama Beth.
Hi, how you doing? How's Donald?
Oh, he's good. He's in his recovery home with
Maine,
with other friends. Yeah.
Wow, that's cool.
He's Maine. You know, he's going to be a little weird till God gets here. It's okay. I'm trying to find a bike for him.
Oh, my gosh.
Craigslist. I'm looking for a cheap bike I can get for him, and then I'm
going
to try to make him some casserole this week or something to bring to him.
Oh, that's nice.
He's there.
Nice. Oh, that's good.
God has my brother safe and snug until we leave.
Oh, I'm sure he does.
So praise you, Jesus.
Amen. Okay, that's good.
Thanks for asking.
Great. No, he's been on my heart. Yeah.
Oh, thank you. Yeah.
No, I've been praying for him that he'll get it right with God, you know, and do what he's got to do for him.
At the moment is how is Marty McFly? Marty McFly.
Oh, how is the doggy?
As Billy pointed out, McFly, I never even thought of that, as my son named him, but get it? Fly's in there.
Gotta fly.
Yeah, he flies too.
Fly.
If we all go, he goes with us, including all the banana nut dogs I got here and everything. Oh, jeepers. Noah's Ark, here she comes. God's going to say, whoa, wait a minute. you don't expect me to take all of them. I said, yeah, including the python. I'm kidding. Everybody will scatter. Oh, my gosh. Crazy. Oh, Lordy. dear. Ay, ay, ay.
Well, Faith put a Faith is in chat, by the way. Faith put a verse in chat.
Hi, Faith.
John 1:14, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth.
Nice, nice, nice.
And, just saying truth.
Good Bible verse.
Peace.
Yeah.
Beautiful. So, so actually, I just have Pat, I just have you and Judy on the line, and we're into record mode, so we won't get any others, I don't think, unless somebody calls us.
No.
And that's kind of what I have for today. Anything else on your end?
No, not really. Just here. Just waiting. Just keeping them company.
Here.
Just praying through the day, you know, and I just pray for my grandson Keith because he's lucky I don't beat the blank out of him, you know, because he's got such an attitude. He's just cold and unloving and just kind of hard to live with him, you know. He's just got so much anger and stuff and cursing at my landlady and it's just horrible to live with him because he's 24 and he thinks he's, you know, tough, you know what, and he isn't. I mean, he's got a good heart in some ways, but most of the time he's very, very angry, angry at everybody. He works in a gay bar. I don't think he's gay, but they pay him well. So I said, why are you working? Oh, I won't use the line. You know, why are you working over? And they pay well and stuff. And just this is a real thorn in my side right now. And I can't talk about God or anything, you know. And if you try to broach any topic about anything, like my car needs to be fixed, and he fixes it, and he hasn't done it, and the muffler's falling apart again. It's a new one, and he's supposed to do it, and I have to go places, and it's like move your butt and get it done, you know. You live here for free, practically, and I know you're moving out and everything, but I'm really, really mad at him. I'm really upset because, you know, he doesn't have God in his heart, and you know how people are when they don't have God in their heart. I mean, they're just all over the place, and the language and everything else, and I'm trying to stay calm with him, you know. But wow, it's a real hardship. So keep Keith in prayer, that the Holy Spirit get him good, you know, before he takes his last breath. You know, he's going to be here sure. I know that. And whatever, but it's a real thorn in the side because I'm trying to be calm, dealing with him, with his mouth and his complaining and his anger and his bitterness. And I see traits of him that I saw in my husband. You know. This bitterness, this complaining, this, you know, and I know he's got, and I know he's probably on some stuff too, you know what I mean? They all smoke pot and God knows what else. He's got a stupid thing in his room with this glass. They smoke stuff out of that. So, you know, know how I feel. And I said, I smell anything. I said, I'm going on the warpath. I said, I'll just up and leave you hanging because I will not tolerate that in my house, you know. So they know, but, it's just shades of stuff all over again, you know. Meanwhile, my daughter Geraldine, who has special needs, has started. I was up at 1 o'clock in the morning, answering all kinds of questions about Jesus to her, which was very good because she's really getting it now. She's really getting it. She's almost 50, but better late than never. And she's special needs, you know, but she's very smart. But we talked all kinds of things about the Lord and that scripture verses and this, that, and why Satan fell and just things she needs some fine-tuning with. And she goes to, you know, her boyfriend's very spiritual. And so this is good. This is really good. So I'm going from one extreme to the other. Want to kill somebody and hug the other, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to buy this house, and she's trying to work it out for me, the landlady. But he doesn't want us to buy the house, Keith. He wants us to move, but he's moving to Colorado. So shut the blank up is what I want to say to him. Excuse me, but that's the way I feel.
Right.
Like it's our life, you know. You butt out. I know you mean well, but butt out. I'm going to make decisions that I want. My landlady's a Christian lady, but he hates her. He absolutely hates her. He hates Geraldine. He wants her. He says she's crazy. She needs to be in a crazy house. You know, this is the way he talks. Oh, yeah.
He's
bitter.
He's finished.
Bitter.
You know,
and you're crazy. Why aren't you moving out of this house? Why are you still here? You know, you don't do anything I say. You're not taking any. And it's like, oh, wait a minute. I just had this for 50 years. Oh, damn, I'm not going through this another with you, you know.
There's a lot of nasty spirits in groups of where he's working. And
oh, yeah.
That's what drives a lot. drives a lot of that behavior. Not all of it, but a lot of it.
Me, myself, and I. No compassion. You mess up. Well, that's too bad. You know, no sympathy, no compassion. He'll send me upset over someone. Well, they should have done this, and then it would have been all right. Blah, 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 blah. That's the attitude. Like, screw you. You know, too bad you made a mistake. You're an idiot, dumb, stupid person, and that's the attitude. Nothing. I said if there were people, if everyone was like him, well, there are many, you know, this world would really be screwed because you wouldn't have any love at all. Everybody would be poking the finger at everybody and say, you're an idiot, you know, you deserve what you got, you know, so don't talk to me about it. That's just the attitude. This is the attitude in the young people. Me, myself, and I.
As a young man, you know, in the world, in the context of the world, as a young man, he has a few years before he will actually reacquire the knowledge that his parents and that people older than him actually have wisdom and know some things. Because right now, he's totally in post-teenager self-assurance mode. And,
he's 24.
Plus,
If he lost his father, you know. Laura never got married. She had the kids out of wedlock, you know. Well, I mean, that's like every other story. That's okay. You're here, you know, that's fine. But the thing is that he lost his father when he was 4 years old. His father took off, and he loved his father. So there's a lot of bitterness there. Same story with my husband. My husband lost his father at 15, and ever since then, I said to his sister, what's wrong with Jerry? My husband's name is Jerry, too. She said, well, he brought all that bitterness into his life and into the marriage. You couldn't talk to him about anything, and that's why he ended up drinking so much and just affairs and everything else, you know, just can't imagine.
Right.
You can't imagine.
Yeah.
I've had 3 years of peace. I mean, God forgive me, but I've had 3 years of peace because he passed away 3 years ago, you know, August. So, I mean, you know, my house was very peaceful, but now I've got this young rascal running around with a mouth on him, an attitude, and he won't even talk to you. If he talks, he mumbles everything, you know. I mean, but yeah, he's a good heart. He took care of my granddaughter going out to there. He spent $2,500 on a trip. He put her a new car. He flew back. So he's got a good heart. He's not a total washout. He's got a good heart.
Right.
And, like, he'll pay for the oil here and stuff like that. But he's stuck on what he thinks is right, and if you don't agree with him, you're an idiot. You know, even though he's got a good heart in other areas. You know, he's mixed up. He's all mixed up. He really is. I think he's just very mixed up. But his mother is a good Christian woman, and he's surrounded with Geraldine and me, who are, you know, who love our Lord. So he's going to get zonked one way or the other. I mean, he can't escape the Lord. He can't, because he got too many people praying for him. But meanwhile, living with him is like, you got to be kidding me. I mean, I had this all my life. I'm not taking this again. You know, and I don't want to get mad. I don't want to get upset because he's going to move out. But it's like he's going to have a fit when he finds out that I will buy the house from the landlady because she's trying to work everything to my advantage because she loves me as a friend, as a Christian, and he doesn't see that at all. And he just calls her all kinds of the worst names. I can't even repeat them. And it's like, you know, if I want to buy this house, I don't want to move. I'm 72. I don't want to move. This house is fine where we are. It's safe. It's on a mountain. It's by the lake. It's in a very exclusive, beautiful area. If she gets the rent, the mortgage, if I can get the mortgage and it's down, I'm fine. I can do the oil. I'll take $20,000-$30,000 over. You know, this is what I plan to do. I'll have plenty of funds for whoever. And it's, you know why? If I poof, and they're left here, they're taken care of. Everything's taken care of as far as I'm concerned. I've left the nest, a very nice nest for them. Okay? That's what I'm trying to do.
Well, I can tell you, if he's here after the rapture, that place he's working is not a place he's going to enjoy going to. I can tell you that much. That's going to be very, very ugly.
Yeah. I'm sure he sees it, and I'm sure he's tormented one way or the other because he walks into the house, and it's God everything, and he leaves out the door, and it's Satan, you know? That's exactly what it is. So he's torn between two worlds. He is. You know, he has so much bitterness and hatred in him. Yeah.
He must have some stress about it, or it wouldn't be such a big deal to him. So there's something something in the back of his head that's giving him a contrary idea as to what he thinks
yeah.
is right, and he's having
yeah.
trouble dealing with it.
Yeah, well, because I said no, and he just goes off criticizing and saying, you know, you guys are idiots and you should get out of here, and why haven't you done this, and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, I don't want to hear that again. I don't want to live with somebody like that again. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I had 50 years of it. I don't need another 50.
Yeah, right.
You know?
Exactly. Yeah. Take that act and go
yeah.
somewhere else.
Now he's too much like the other one.
Yeah.
Very closed
right, exactly.
up, very angry. You know what I mean? Very intelligent.
He's
his credit rating, and he's studying to be an engineer, and he's very intelligent. My husband was like a walking brain. I mean, he was the most intelligent creature I ever knew. I think after God, he must have been the most intelligent man alive. Now I'm talking to the next intelligent
yeah.
one.
Well,
the other Jerry in my life.
Yeah.
I'm,
oh, that's right.
I'm having fun.
Wow.
I'm having fun.
Yeah,
I'm just
yeah,
having fun
really
with you.
Right.
But no,
yeah.
really, he was a director of this. He was assistant dean at Fordham University. He did professorship at Villanova. He set up companies. I mean, this man did everything. He was like incredible. But he drank.
Mm-hmm.
He had all this bitterness, okay,
mm-hmm.
and affairs, and just he believed in the Lord. He died in the Lord. So I'm sure he's with God, but. They said 3 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, that's yeah. life. You learn from it if you decide to learn from it. Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, I think I'm going to kind of take my disoriented self and play a little music and then head on out of here.
Sure, no problem. Love all you guys.
In high expectation, I'm not going to make a big deal about it, but I will say I think the 7th of July is another possible false flag
mm-hmm.
date. It's also a Tuesday. I wouldn't ordinarily expect that before we're out of here, but we could be out of here tonight. I don't know.
Sounds good.
I'm just throwing it out there because I just see the pattern
mm-hmm.
possibly falling into place.
Oh, I tell him. I tell him. I'm so lonely. I cry every day. Like, it's time to go home. It's time to go home.
Yeah.
I want to
yeah.
go home. And I don't
yeah.
want to come back. Sorry.
Yeah.
You guys want to run around down here going crazy, that's fine. But, no, I said, once I'm with you, I am with you, and I cannot leave you. That will not work for me.
Yeah.
I've been here 7 years.
I will just say that I am beside myself and I'm not good company.
I know. I hear you. Yeah.
Yeah.
He understands.
Yeah.
He knows that we're, as you say, this is not for wimps, what we're going through. It really isn't. We're being honed and we're being chiseled and we're being, you know, made stronger. And the battle's fierce because the enemy is very strong now and he knows what we're about. And he knows we belong to God, so he's going to do everything he can to just discourage us and make us crazy.
Yeah.
You know, we got to be aware of that and just not let that get to us, you know, really.
Okay. Well,
okay.
Let's briefly the spirit
put
of
put a song
God
on, say goodbye.
And I'll play
Jesus
a little music here. God bless everybody. I know the
yes,
Lord is
yes,
powerful
God
with
bless.
All of us and
yes.
and our families, by the way.
Sure.
We haven't played for a while because it's sort of a Christmas song. O come, Emmanuel.
Oh, that's okay. That's correct.
Yeah. That's right. Definitely.
Christmas in July. Hey.
That's right. We're coming close to that soon.
Yeah. Goodbye. Love y'all.
Bye-bye. Love you.
Yep.
Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel.
about that silent night. God came down as a holy child. Mary was starting to feel the labor. The inn was full, so they went to the stable. Town was buzzing and full of life. It's anything, baby, but a silent night. Well, baby, Jesus was meek and mild. The barnyard gang was going wild. The camel's spitting, the donkey's kicking. The mother hen chasing baby chicken. Not a soul gonna sleep tonight. It's anything, baby, but a siren night. Now go. Go, go, go. Lots of noise in here. It's anything, baby, but a silent night. Well, the angels sang so all could hear. The king is born, but do not fear. To find him in a manger low. But he'll grow up and save your soul. The trumpet blast shook the sky. It's anything, baby, but a silent night. Glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, let's have some fun. Glory, glory, what's it to ya? God sent his son to get us right. It's anything, baby, but a silent night.
Shepherds came from far away to follow that star both night and day. They traveled up, they traveled down, until they arrived at Bethlehem town. Praise the Lord, what a sight. Anything, baby, but a silent night.
Glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, let's have some fun. Oh, yeah. Glory, glory, what's it to ya? God sent his son to get us right. It's anything, baby, but a silent night.
Take it away, Scotty. God sent his only son. What's it to you, baby? Make some noise out of here.
The people came from far and wide. By that baby's side, the glory streams from up above. He is life and he is love. The cows are restless, the baby's crying. It's anything, baby, but a silent night.
Glory,
up in here. There's a baby born. Jesus, the Lord's son. Can't be quiet.
God said it's gonna be okay. God said that. He told me to tell y'all that he said that. It's gonna be okay with the sad people out there. This is an opinion. It's a